Shall we turn in our Bibles to St. John chapter 4? First, we'll read two passages. St. John chapter 4. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our blessed God and Father, we do thank you for your blessings on us. We thank you for your word that you've given. You've not left us without instructions and guidance. And we ask now that you would make this word real to us and might speak to our hearts and change our lives for your glory and for your honor. In the precious name of your Son, we pray. Amen. We'll take a look at this morning. My message is rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. And the first passage I'd like to take a look at, we won't read the whole passage, but it's a familiar passage. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking with a lady from Samaria. And I want to begin at verse 10 for this morning. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Turn also with me, please, to chapter 7, John chapter 7. And the context here is at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And beginning at verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they had, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It's a tremendous time. Once a year, they came to the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was a great and joyous time that the children of Israel would live in, they would spend the night in a tent, a tabernacle. And it spoke to them of the time in the wilderness where they traveled for 40 years. And they had their tents around the tabernacle of worship. And the Lord dwelt among them, and he guided them. And in celebration of the Feast of Tabernacle, they were to bring water from the pool of Siloam, bring it to the temple, and pour it on the altar as an offering. And in the midst of this climatic day, on the last day of the feast, the Lord Jesus spoke with a loud voice, it says. He cried with a loud voice. And he presented himself as the source of this living water. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture had said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And we know this speaks of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is our solution for our sin problem. And there is in this the gospel message, because there is no deliverance from sin without belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, I'd like to focus not so much this morning on if any man thirsted. We know that the thirsting is that desire, that questioning something, there is something I need. And it is created in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost would convict of sin, the Lord Jesus said. And he creates in us a desire to know and to follow God. But this morning our focus is on the rivers of living water. He that believeth on me. So this would include all Christians, all saints. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. So as you think about that, and you consider the passage where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke with the woman of Samaria, he describes it this way. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. I'd like for us this morning to consider those of us that have drunk, those of us that have believed, is there that evidence of that well of water springing up? In my outline, the first item is the water is from within. This water is from within. And the phrase we have is out of his belly. Out of his belly. So from within, The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. In John chapter 14, he says that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, would dwell with them and be in them. Let's take a look at that passage, John chapter 14 and verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give unto you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And the Apostle Paul explains and shows us in the book of Ephesians how that as soon as we believe, and that believing, that is the key, that is the drinking of the water. But he that believeth, we are sealed with that Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in us, out of his belly. The Holy Ghost lives with us. We know that the Holy Ghost speaks to the unbeliever and the unsaved. And that is where the conviction of the truth of the Word of God, we know that. And each one must respond to this thirst. Each one must respond. But then the Holy Ghost, when you believe and when we drink, he comes to live in us. And from within us, he guides us. He is to bring to their remembrance everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had taught them. And he is to show us how we ought to live. God, through the Holy Spirit, gives each believer the desire and ability to obey his moral law. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 15, wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So what is the difference between the law and grace? What is the difference between the law of Moses and the salvation that Jesus brings? What is the difference? There is that external, this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what I do. And if you obey, you were not punished. If you disobey, then you're punished. But Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he showed us how that through the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit within, we still accomplish the same things, but it's from within It is from a desire to do the will of God that we obey his law. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And so those of us that are believers, we know and we are familiar with those promptings of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit works along with the Word of God. We see that the Word-filled life is absolutely the same as the Spirit-filled life. And the Word reproves whenever we try to stray from the path, it will reprove us. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, to bring us back on the right path. And for instructions in righteousness. Out of his belly. So the Holy Spirit is within us and he's working from within. He would say to you, this person right there, I have been preparing. He's ready for you to share the gospel. And he would tell you. And then you would either obey or disobey. Or you might decide to want to do something that's not in the will of God. And the Holy Spirit would say, no, that's not right. That's not it. That does not glorify God. It's a disobedient. So from within, we have out of our bellies should flow rivers of living water. My second point in my outline is the water is abundant. The water is abundant. And this, back to the context, this was a time of joy and rejoicing. Isaiah chapter 12, let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 12. And verse 3. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And this Feast of Tabernacle was a joyful time when they would bring the water up and pour it out. And the Lord Jesus Christ use this time, this object lesson for them to show they understood that context. And he is presenting himself as the water of life, the source of this joy, the source of our supply, the vital thing that we need for our lives, water. The water that Jesus offers us is an endless source of life. He said to the woman from Samaria, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst. If you drink of that water that you're getting from the well, that physical water, you're going to get thirsty again. But once you drink from my water, it's an endless well from within. It says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So his thoughts are new and refreshing and abundant and prevalent. It's over an abundance. It's coming up every morning as we surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always fresh. It's always new. And it is, it's a river. A brook is a very small natural waterway, smaller than a stream. And I want you to imagine and think about a brook that you may have seen. Sometimes, depending on how much rain is happening, that brook may have water and it may not have water. A stream, it's a small waterway, larger than a brook, but smaller than a creek. And you have seen, you can look and think about streams. There's always some water there, but it's a small flow of water. Then think about a creek. A creek, a medium natural waterway, larger than a stream. Often a tributary to a river. So it's getting a little bit bigger, it's more water. How many of you have, in your travelings, has traveled across the Mississippi River or some other river? And you look, have you stopped to think of how much water that is that's just flowing? And it's coming up out of the ground at the source. Great volumes. Jesus says that he's promised us rivers, plural, of living water. The life that he gives is abundant. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says that the thief cometh not but to kill and to steal, to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So that, as we think about it, the water that's coming is from within, out of his belly. And secondly, it is abundant. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. Rivers. Abundance of life. Abundance of joy. My third point is that the water is for living. And the phrase is, of living water. Out of its belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. That means it is current. It is vital. It is vibrant. It's relevant. And it's for now. It's for your life. It's for the situation where you have an irritation on the job. There are people that are talking about you, that are gossiping about you. It's for a situation in your family, something difficult. It's for your finances. And every problem and conflict that you might meet, maybe it's not a problem. It's for you getting the strength and the courage to share with others. It's for now. The living water is for you for every situation that you will face. Every situation that you find yourself in. And I really hope that we can grasp this. Because we really need to see ourselves. This is not something that we just do on Sunday. The Holy Spirit wants that communion with us all day, every day. He guides us. This is living water. This is water for our living right now and continuously and forever. It is vital. And Jesus, after Jesus was glorified, the Father sent the Holy Spirit to walk alongside us, believers, and to guide us into all truth. And Jesus said, He will bring to your remembrance all that I have taught you. He will bring to your remembrance. See that passage again. John 14:26 says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. And all of the things that Jesus has taught him, he brings it to your remembrance right at the time of the testing. Right at the time. We cannot ignore it, we cannot deny it. Because if Christ be in you, the Holy Spirit is in you, and he will convict you of righteousness. He convicts us of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. He's the one that says, hey, you need to go talk to your brother. Get it right. You need to go talk to your sister. It's not a godly thing to have grudges for years. Sometimes people hold grudges with their brothers and their sisters in Christ. It's not. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. What are you going to do? This is living water. Living water. How can we talk about the Holy Spirit without looking at Romans chapter 8? Turn to Romans chapter 8. And we will not read the whole passage today. But in the greater context, we have Paul speaking and comparing, trying to live this Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit in the flesh. Chapter 7 is so frustrating. He knows what he wants to do, and here's us believers, we know what we should do. But what we would like to do, what we know is right to do, we can't do it. Can't do it. We would try. You might do some of it for a little while, but it just doesn't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And until Christ comes and delivers us from the even presence of sin, we do have the flesh that we have to deal with. We cannot deny it. We cannot ignore it. But what are we going to do about it? You already know what's right now. but you just don't have the power to do it in and of yourself. And then in chapter 8, he introduces how this is to be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in verse 8 says, so then, and what a verse for us to really get in our heads. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way, you cannot. Even if you did good things, you still not pleasing God. Because all your righteousness are just like filthy rags. And then verse 9. But he's speaking to a group of believing saints there in Rome. He says, ye are not in the flesh. You're not in the flesh. But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and for all believers that is true. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the Spirit, you're not Christ. You need to go back to the thirsting part. Thirst. Convicting you of sin. Are you coming to him? But I want to encourage saints and challenge us that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Each of us must examine our hearts. Is the fragrance of the Holy Spirit evident to all those around us, in our families, in our jobs? Can they see the radiance of Christ on your face, in your speech? Rivers of living water. That is for all of us to consider, for all of us to ponder, for all of us to do business with the Lord. Confess, repent, and each day you line yourself up with the Holy Spirit. And the cool thing is the Holy Spirit is always there for you. He's going to tell you where you're going wrong, and he's going to tell you how to get back right. And how to be reinforced. The Holy Spirit uses the scriptures. If you take a comparison of Colossians chapter 3. This is why I print this stuff out beforehand. All right, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, I think it is. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We talked about that radiance. Now this is someone that is filled with the word of God, having it dwell in him richly. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And he tells us what this will look like in your home life. Speaks to wives and to husbands, to children, to parents. It talks about, in verse 22, what it looks like on the job. As your employer, as an employee, what does this look like? And it goes into chapter 4. This is life. I mean, there's nothing more life than living with a family. And then we all have employment. Now, we compare that with Ephesians chapter 5. That being the word for life, Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verse 18. And don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Spirit for life. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your hearts. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Does it sound familiar? That same glow, that same radiance is there. And then he goes on to talk about in the family life. Same thing. Husbands and wives and children. And going into chapter 6, children, masters and servants, your employment. The point is that the Holy Spirit does not work without the Word of God. That's why he gave us the Word. Word of God is crucial. So important for us to memorize. I mean, because when the Holy Spirit's going to bring to our remembrance stuff. But if it's not there, what you going to do? Just at the time, someone's irritating you to the point where you are wanting to say ungodly words, you run and find the Bible, open it up. It's got to be there in your heart. It's got to be there where the Holy Spirit says, remind you how your speech should be always seasoned with salt, and you speak kindly. This is the abundant life that he was talking about. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. May the Lord help us that we may be faithful to live this life. But the Lord Jesus talks about the life that he's come to give us. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe. You believe. Do we really? Is it just a game we play? Is it just a surface thing? Let us live out our belief. Let the water flow from within us. Let us pray. Our blessed God and our Father, we do give thanks for our precious Savior, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has brought us into your family. And we do believe on him. Father, we thank you for your word that convicts us and corrects us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and diligent, that we might be ones out of whose lives will flow rivers of living water, that others who are thirsty might come and drink from the Lord Jesus Christ as we point them to him, as we model his life, and as we can answer the questions and say, if you're thirsty, drink of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can also have rivers of water coming from within you. Convict us of our sin and cause us to live lives that are pleasing in your sight, that we might be useful vessels in your hand. We do pray, Lord, in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.